Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I mentioned last week that I'm interested in learning more about trees, but there's a danger when you share things like that publicly. Turns out people begin to ask you about it. Like that time I shared my New Year's resolution about exercising more often, and then when asked by Bill Obether last week how that was going, I had to confess not so well. I wish you would have asked instead about my meditation practice, because that I'm actually keeping up with. In an effort to prove to you that I wasn't just saying I was going to learn more about trees, but that I actually am learning more about trees, I'd like to share with you something that I learned about one tree in particular, one single but extraordinary tree. It lives in Utah, in Fish Lake National Park, which is some 5 hours north of Las Vegas. It sits nearly 10,000 feet above sea level on the edge of an isolated lake. It's estimated to be 80,000 years old, and its name is Pando. Now, as of now, I don't know too much about trees other than what I learned as a child. A dozen trees make a grove, 100 make a wood, and 1,000 make a forest. By definition, Pando is no grove, wood, or forest. Pando is just a single tree, a single quaking aspen tree, but believe it or not, it covers more than 100 acres. You see, Pando on the outset appears to be 47,000 separate trees, but these are actually just stems of one root system. So what appears to be 47,000 individual trees are actually stems of one tree because they're all connected, making Pando the largest, heaviest, and oldest living organism on the earth. Pando, a single tree. It's now on my bucket list to go see Pando, and I'm sure Bill's going to ask me about it one day, so I better make sure it happens. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you this morning, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our scripture reading for today, the Apostle Paul is writing to a Christian church in Corinth. This church, much like many today, was full of divisions between people. There were divisions between more conservative Jewish Christians and more liberal Greek Christians. There were divisions between the politically enslaved and the politically free. There were divisions between those who emphasized speaking in tongues and those who emphasized speaking boldly about Christ. And there were divisions between the followers loyal to the teachings of Paul and those of Peter. There were so many divisions in this church that they didn't know what to do, so they decided to reach out to the Apostle Paul to ask for help. The book of 1 Corinthians can best be summed up as an impassioned plea for unity in the church. Paul's response to this community that was splitting apart because of its various differences was to remind them that amidst their diverse opinions, gifts, services, passions, and activities, they were all rooted in the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Like a single tree that appears to be thousands, this Christian community in Corinth had mistaken themselves as disconnected bodies, when in reality they were all a part of the same root system, different members of the same body. So Paul reminds them, you have a variety of gifts, but they come from the same Spirit. You have a variety of services, but they derive from the same Lord. You have a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates them all. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Friends, the most obvious lesson of Pando in 1 Corinthians is clear. We are connected. It's what Pando, Paul, and a number of spiritual leaders, mystics, and moral teachers have always proclaimed. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. described the human condition as being caught in a network of mutuality so that injustice anywhere was a threat to justice everywhere. Thomas Merton, just weeks before his death on an Asian journey, had told a gathering in Calcutta, "We are already one, but we imagine that we're not." Mother Teresa's analysis of our world's ills was that we have forgotten that we belong to one another. And John Donne, the famous poet, wrote, "No man is an island. Every man's death diminishes me." It seems clear to me that we have a tendency then as a human race to forget our oneness. See, while we may appear to be 60 different bodies in Cox Chapel or thousands of different bodies in Highland Park United Methodist Church, 1.3 million bodies in the city of Dallas and 8 billion bodies in the world, we are actually all part of the same root system, belonging to one another, activated by the same God, the same Spirit, the same Lord. The greatest spiritual teachers, mystics, leaders, and Mother Nature herself are continually reminding us that we are one. And Jesus even initiated a practice just before his death that would remind us every time we participated in it that we are one body partaking of the one loaf. The theologian Paul Tillich, who's a favorite of mine, actually referred to God as the ground of being. God, for Tillich, was the source from which we all derive our individual beings. God is what grounds all of our existence, like a giant root system that exists beneath us all. Friends, this may seem like a common message. You've heard it before. There are many members, all of the same body. We have diverse gifts, but we're all part of the same Spirit. United, connected, linked together. I'm sure you believe this, that you know this. But it's important to be reminded because it's critical to our well-being as a whole. See, this week, as I began to learn more about Pando, I discovered that something is happening to her. Pando is in trouble. Pando is now under threat from all kinds of human activities, from cattle grazing, from an exploding deer and elk population, from misplaced development, and from the impending prospect of radical climate change. These 47,000 individual-looking trees are all suffering because they're all connected to one another. It's impossible for one of these stems to get sick and the others to remain well because they're all one tree. The words of John Donne ring in my ears. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in humankind. It turns out that your pain is my pain, that your affliction afflicts me. We cannot begin to believe or act as though we are not connected. If we do, we will only perpetuate the downfall of our community and of our human race. See, friends, if you look around this tree of life of which we are all a part of, it doesn't look to be doing too well. Like Pando, it's also sick. It's been struck by racism, sexism, terrorism, hatred, violence, anger, lust, greed, pride, you name it. And where it strikes one of us, it affects all the rest of us. Paul Rogers, Pando's lead scientist, was quoted by the New York Times saying, "Pando's been thriving for thousands of years, but now it's coming apart on our watch." So Rogers and many other committed scientists are doing everything possible to restore Pando, to heal it, and help it to thrive. And as I read more about the efforts of Rogers and these other scientists to help Pando, I began to see that we too must do everything possible to tend to our communal tree of life and cultivate the kinds of connections that make for a just and compassionate society, the kind of connections that will help to save us all. This morning, if you are feeling tired, frightened, worried, sad, or hopeless, think of the tree. Remember that we are one, that each of our existence is all rooted in the same ground of being. We have a variety of gifts, but they come from the same Spirit. We have a variety of services, but they derive from the same Lord. We have a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates them all. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So tend the forest. Plant kindness, joy, and justice today. Throw out grace like a fertilizer. Water with compassion and forgiveness, because we can do this. We can save this tree together. To each, Paul says, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit has poured herself upon us all for the common good. So what will you do for the common good today?